answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I don't know if I can put it this way on TV, but I'm going to do it. The president has Iran by the yin yang. The only source of revenue that Iran has is the sale of oil, and they can't sell a drop. And they have to continue producing, because if they shut down their wells, as they may have to, because of the low pressure, they'll never get them started again. And I think another 2 to 3 weeks of this blockade, the Supreme Leader and the Revolutionary Guard, they're going to have an epiphany and be born again. I'm just saying that everybody in the press is saying, well, we have to take them their fissile material before we can have a victory, or those that are saying there has to be a regime change before we have a victory. I don't think that's accurate. I think we've won.
The words of Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, and I echo those. Of course, on the other side, let's give a little balance, in fairness. The other side says, oh, we're doing stupid things. Trump is lost. He doesn't know what he's doing. You can have your own decision and opinion, right? You're allowed to do that in this country. But what we know for a fact, no Iranian oil has been coming out of Iran. There have been a couple little shadow fleet boats that might have slipped by, but otherwise, no. And if it dries up, the money is not going back into Iran, which is what they need to keep the regime alive, to fund their terrorists, to fund their Iranian Revolutionary Guard. If they don't have the money to pay their troops, do you think they will continue fighting? They may be fanatics, and they are in many cases, but many of them are also realistic. Yeah, I want to kill the enemy. I want to kill the Americans. I want to kill the Jews, but I also want something for my family. Of course, I could reach a point. I don't care about my family, because they certainly do not at the command level of the IRCG and the leadership currently in Iran care about the people anyway. They don't mind if the people suffer. Let them suffer! But we're going to be winning. And of course, we get these claims from Iran. We fired missiles onto a U.S. warship. Now, here's where you're going to see debate coming. There's been no video showing that. If CENTCOM had the video, would they release it? I don't know. But CENTCOM is denying. So that never happened. Now, what did happen is Iran did fire some missiles into United Arab Emirates, and they apparently intercepted them. Every missile Iran fires at whatever target lessens their arsenal, and they do not have the money or the ability to get more back in, especially with the blockade. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA, May 4, 2026. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to learn something this hour. In fact, before we wrap up each hour, you're going to know more than you did when we began that hour. I will promise you that. So coming up later in the next hour, how the leftists continue to destroy free enterprise. And they laugh. They laugh about thinking this is the way things should be, because they want to push everyone into Marxism and communism. They're destroying cities left and right. And they are destroying corporations that feed Americans. But again, this socialist Marxist attitude, communist attitude, is we should all be equal. But there is no equality inside communism. Riddle me this. If there's really equality in communism, why is Putin the leader of the Russians at this point? Because no one dares stand up to him. Does anyone else live in the luxury that he does, other than his top aides and friends and oligarchs? No. There is no equality, despite what they will tell you. Later in this hour, UFOs. President Trump, early this year, and of course we're only in May, pledged to release government files on the UFOs or what they now call unidentified aerial phenomena. He said, we've uncovered some, quote, very interesting documents and information from solid witnesses. And he directed the Pentagon and other agencies to release these records, citing public interest and a need for transparency. Where are we on that? What can we expect to see? We're going to talk about that in more detail later in this hour. And our story behind the story today, a little more personal, although many of you might relate to it. And this is not just for men or boys. Do you remember when you got your first shotgun or rifle? And in particular, if you bought it yourself? I do. My dad gave me that opportunity, but I had to work for it. The old-fashioned way. Fine by me. That's the way I was raised. That's our story behind the story later today. A little lighter and not quite as dire some of the situations we do have. Speaking of dire, MSN Now reporting how difficult they see the situation right now in the Strait of Hormuz.
What do we know that's actually taken place in the Strait of Hormuz over the last 24 hours? It's quite difficult to give the correct and exact information because there's different reporting from each side. But Iran today claimed that they had targeted a U.S. warship with two missiles. This has come from the Fars news agency. That was then completely rejected by CENTCOM. They came out and said that the claim was that Iranian state media claims that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps hit a U.S. warship with two missiles. The truth is that no U.S. Navy ships have been struck. U.S. forces are supporting Project Freedom and enforcing the naval blockade on Iranian ports. And then they went on to say in a separate message that U.S. Navy-guided missile destroyers are currently operating in the Arabian Gulf after transiting the Strait of Hormuz in support of Project Freedom. American forces are actively assisting efforts to restore transit for commercial shipping. As a first step, two U.S. flagged merchant vessels have successfully transited through that waterway.
That is the remember I said now. And of course, quoting the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as their official source of what Iran has to say. I have no issue with that, as long as you stated that's who said it. But I think someone should tell MSN Now it's not the Straits of Hormuz, it's the Strait of Hormuz. Do you think you should begin with a basic fact? Oh, yes. And again, Iran continues to issue a threat. We are using our ships to guide others through the Strait of Hormuz. Now, the British Military Maritime Trade Center reported an attack on a trade vessel by multiple small craft yesterday, just 11 miles off Iran's coast in the strait. And Iran vows to attack any U.S. forces that enter the strait. But we continue the blockade, and we now are going to be escorting them through. This will certainly possibly escalate the threat of casualties and danger. Make no mistake about that. I don't want to be dismissive about it. But a lot of what you're hearing from Iran right now, they are blowing more air than weapons because they don't have them. And it's getting more and more difficult inside Iran. Not that the regime cares, but at some point it could be a break point. Secretary of Treasury Bessent.
This began with the order last March from President Trump on max pressure. And 3 weeks ago, the president gave the order to Treasury, myself, to begin economic fury. And the way to think about that, we were running a marathon over the past 12 months, and now we are sprinting towards the finish line. And I can tell you that we are suffocating the regime, and they are not able to pay their soldiers. This is a real economic blockade, and it is in all parts of government, all hands on deck. It is the blockade that our great Navy is doing. No ships are getting through, and we have upped the pressure on anyone trying to remit money into Iran to help the IRGC. You know, they are a corrupt institution. They've been stealing from the Iranian people for years. They have money offshore. We've tracked that down. We will continue to track that down. And we're going to preserve those assets for the Iranian people on the other side of this conflict.
Scott Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury for the U.S., and making it clear they're not going to get that money. We're going to keep it from them until the regime no longer is controlling the Iranian people. Then we'll make sure the Iranian people get back what they are due. But in the meantime, we are suffocating them. The U.S. did sink six Iranian small boats over the weekend as well. These small craft, they're dicing about inside the strait, trying to harass more than cause damage, but you have to sink them and put them down as well. The peace talks with Iran, still stagnant. President Trump bashing Iran, coming up with another 14-point proposal. You won't give us two points. One, no continued effort for nuclear weapons. And two, stop your missiles flying into other countries. Put those at the top of your list. We might have a talking point. But the blockade itself, again, our National Economic Council director says it is working.
I think the market has been pretty consistent. The fact is that what the president is seeing is that the blockade is working. It's putting an enormous amount of pressure on Iran. And Iran's threats to put mines in the straits have even made it so that humanitarian aid that, of course, we would let through to Iran, that there are a lot of those ship captains that are wary of going to Iranian ports because they're worried about where the Iranians have put the mines. And so, you know, I go down to the sit room many times a week and get briefed on what's going on in Iran, and they're an economy that's really on the precipice of extreme calamity. They are having a hyperinflation. They're starting to have hunger. The bottom line is that the pressure on the great American people, because of these people who are like really intent on American and Israeli destruction with their nuclear weapons, are still in power. One last thing, yeah. Margaret, I don't know if you noticed, but the UN human rights folks came out this week condemning Iran because they're killing people who are trying to stand up to this regime that's potentially, you know, causing starvation and even famine.
That's our National Economic Director, Kevin Hassett, on Meet the Press. Yeah, that was a nice thing that the UN did the other day. But do not forget what I had reported previously in the week. They appointed Iran to a nuclear nonproliferation treaty as a vice chair. They don't know what the hell they're doing over there. That's why I say, why do we continue to dump money in? The air defense systems in the United Arab Emirates were activated today, again, because Iran decided to launch some missiles toward them. And then back stateside. As you know, we finally reached an end of the 76-day effort by the Democrats to shut down ICE and border security. Department of Homeland Security, Mark Wayne Mullen.
Well, after 76 days of shutdown, which is an historic shutdown, longest government shutdown in history, it's going to take some time to recover. I mean, were we able to still be mission capable? Yes. Were we able to pick up everything that was being brought to us? No. I mean, just for an example, we had 500 electric bills throughout just the Coast Guard that was in default. And in some cases, we were having to have the State Department and DOW pay the bills. Our gas cards throughout the department, through brought out 22 components was getting turned off, and we just have to have different agencies pay those bills for us. And so we are also having a tremendous amount of morale issue. So we had a large turnover. Just in CISA, we're down 1,100 people. TSA was down 8%, which typically we have about a 4.6% turnover there. We have agencies that were almost completely furloughed, and so now we're getting back up to speed.
And the only reason we had those issues is because the Democrats, the leftists, hijacking the base, saying we don't want ICE, we don't want border control and anything. Let me point something out to you, and we'll deal with it in more detail in our second hour. There's a new report that shows that the Spanish government, we're talking about Spain now, spent more than $2 billion of Spanish taxpayers' money last year taking care of illegals in their country. $2 billion. How much did they spend on trying to keep them from getting into Spain in the first place? $70 million. $70 million versus $2 billion. You don't have to do a lot of ciphering to see there's a big difference there. And, of course, out of that, that means that their nation and its culture might well be changing, because a lot of them are coming not just from third world countries, but they're coming from Muslim-oriented countries and make that Islamist jihadist. Now, the other day, Trump said if Spain, Germany, France are not going to be participating and helping us with the blockade, we might start pulling some of our troops out of those bases. And immediately there was concern and consternation. No, you had to be here. You had to be. It's ironic as hell. And even Secretary Rubio pointed that out. They don't want us. They're not wanting to help us, but they do want us. They're children. They do not know what they want. And especially if they let their leftist sides take over. Spain has a socialist administration. And right now they're looking at about 840,000 illegals, a fifth of the entire population, now composed of foreigners of various classifications. Goodbye, Spain. Coming up, UFOs. The president said he wants all this information released. What's available? What could still be kept back? Do you want to know everything about it? Do you even think they exist? We'll get into that story and hear from a direct UFO expert on what he believes. And the story behind the story today. A boy getting his first shotgun. That would be me. Boy, was I happy. Stand by. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoon's height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When it comes to aliens, there's some things I just can't tell you on air.
I was so curious about that. So I asked the only man I knew at the time who could possibly help.
President Obama says that there is footage and records of objects in the skies, these unidentified aerial phenomenon, and he says we don't know exactly what they are. What do you think that it is?
I would ask him again. Thank you.
Not very helpful, Joe. I haven't had a chance to ask Barack Obama, and it had been eating at me. And then he said something else.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51.
Really? Really? That's a piece that was put together by Peter Ducey, Fox News. It began with Obama saying, well, I can't really tell you everything we know. That's how it started. And then when Peter Ducey asked the commander-in-chief that time, Biden, and told him what Obama said, Biden said, I'd ask him again. They keep pushing it around the table. As I pointed out earlier this year, President Trump pledged to release all government files on UFOs, or now what they're called UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. The committee that Trump had addressed in April, just last month, he said they would be issued very, very soon following a directive he'd issued in February of this year. And Trump even mentioned he has interviewed people, primarily pilots, who claim to have seen things you would not believe. The released information apparently includes documents from a Pentagon study allegedly uncovering interesting findings. Now, the push for transparency follows the remarks from former President Obama on the existence. As he said, well, I can't really tell you everything. Again, the White House promising transparency, but some, even inside the administration, are are skeptical. They say, we don't think the records hold any bombshell evidence, but don't know that it's all going to be made available. There is an investigative journalist, Jeremy Corbell, who has a weaponized podcast. And he says this evidence they've seen so far does show that whatever they are, they do seem to outmaneuver our U.S. military, and that does raise concern. There are apparently 46 videos of unexplained events that they want declassified. And he believes these weapons could serve as very important data points. Jeremy Corbell.
I think the American public should be able to see them, and so does Congress. They specifically identified these 46 videos because they know that these videos exist. They are designated UAP by our own military and intelligence services. I have been exposed to a number of these. In fact, George Knapp and I provided that list to Congress. We've actually released some of those videos. So the American public is ready for this. Now, what it's going to tell us, what the end result is going to be, it's another data set of footage the American public can look at. But here is what I know for fact, Peter. There are machines, there are craft of unknown origin that fly with impunity in our restricted airspace. And our government has been assessing this as a national threat for decades. The jig is up. People now know UAP are real. But what are UAP? Who are flying these machines? Who made these machines that can outpace, outmaneuver, and outperform our greatest warfighters? That's the question.
And they're caught on video from the planes that are tracking them, either by radar video or visual video, and the pilot's testimony. Now, in the beginning, if a pilot came back and said they saw, quote, a UFO, that could cost them some marks on advancement. So they kept their mouths shut, or they were pulled aside and give us a private briefing and say no more. Keep in mind, there will be plausible explanations for some of these. In fact, one of them deals with a U.S. jet hit in January 2023, colliding with an F-16 Viper jet. This was over Gila Bend, Arizona, during a training exercise. It struck the canopy of the aircraft. The canopy, of course, covering the pilot and the instructor pilot at the rear of the plane. The instructor pilot actually saw it just before it hit. Couldn't do anything about it at that point. Now, the initial investigation did show, again, this 2023 incident, no damage to the $70 million jet. And yes, it was ruled that was not a bird strike. They ultimately decided it was hit by... Are you listening? They decided it was hit by a drone. Location, operator, the device, not yet determined. I have some very big questions there. If we've got a Viper jet, I don't care what speed it's moving or what maneuver it's pulling off, and a drone is able to hit the canopy. Now, maybe it was not intended to hit it. Maybe just trying to get close. There are a lot of questions, as I said, because they never have determined who was operating it. That's the first of four encounters with UAPs that were reported all within a couple of days. And in fact, in one case, according to military personnel, and this is from the director specializing in films about UFO activity, James Fox. According to military personnel I personally met with, there were objects 200 miles off the East Coast, extensively loitering, had no visible means of propulsion. The Department of Defense reports from May 1, 2023 to June 1, 2024. 757 incidents involving UAPs. 708 occurring in the air. The department has 18 reports, including UAPs near nuclear infrastructure, launch sites, and other weapons. Jeremy Corbell says, we need these reports and we need to start looking beyond where we are now.
We do not have the capability, unfortunately, for instantaneous motion. The idea of inertial effect and what would happen, this is baffling to the intelligence community. What George and I put out, it is their analysis that this is demonstrating, this craft, which is not aerodynamic. When you look at this video, it instantaneously shoots off to the right once the Reaper drone got a weapons grade lock on it. So its ability to maneuver far is far beyond anything that China, Russia, or the U.S. has. Look, this is a known secret on the inside. It's an open secret that UAP are real and that they're able to evade sometimes detection, but absolutely our weaponry. And it's an issue because they are oftentimes loitering over sensitive critical infrastructure within the United States. This is not me saying this. This has been admitted by our own administration and government. I think we're closer than ever. The intent is to bring the truth forward to the American public. We are closer than ever, and it's just got to be done now.
And if a military Reaper drone had locked in on one of these and then suddenly it made abrupt change in maneuvers and disappeared, what the hell happened? And there's another piece of radar video showing an object at a high speed crashing into the ocean. No splash, just going into the water. And one admiral has been quoted as saying, we caught on sonar one time an event going something like 200 miles an hour underwater. We have nothing like that, and neither does China, or we would know about it. So Corbell says the pressure to release everything is increasing.
This is game-changing, and it's nature itself. It's not something that should be held back. And presidents have admitted that they have been held out from that information. Very famously, President Clinton talked about that. Not the first time he said a president's been lied to. Well, now the pressure's on. Congress is asking for these 46 videos. And if we've ever had an administration and a president that sees the public interest and would enact upon that for the people, it would be this sitting president. So I'm very encouraged at this moment. We have an opportunity. None of these have really been announcements. It's an opportunity now for the American public to understand the UFO presence is real and that it's been going on a long time and it has been of national security concern.
And again, that is Jeremy Corbell, who has his own podcast and weaponized. And I think a lot of people do agree. You don't have to believe in UFOs or UAPs, but I want an answer. It's as simple as that. President Trump has said and emphasized the public deserves to see the information. Give them, quote, as much as we can. Those words put restrictions on, but there might be a legitimate reason for it. I don't know. Do you? Of course you don't. We're all waiting. Don't hold your breath. Coming up, the story behind the story. A little personal slice of life today that I think many of you will relate to in one way or the other.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
There are times in your life when you think back about something you did with one of your parents or maybe a sibling, and it just becomes so alive once again as if it were happening at that very moment. And sometimes it's fantastic, rewarding, sometimes a little frightening. My dad, as I pointed out previously, was an oil field worker. And he and buddies often, when dove season opened, would make a point to carve out time to go out and go dove hunting. And I'll always thank my dad for taking me with him. As young as 8, I wasn't allowed to really shoot anything at that point, but I could help pick up the birds and clean them, pick the pellets out of them at the time, prepare them for taking home for mom to cook. Now, the way it was done in West Texas, you sit around a stock tank of some type or a large body of water because you know at some point the birds in the evening are going to be coming back in to get some water. And they would come in flocks of 10, maybe 30 at a time. And sometimes a couple solo, one or two. You just tried to take the best shot you could. Now, Dad and the men he was hunting with, they often had at least 20-gauge shotguns. Dad had a Bump Remington 12-gauge shotgun. I do remember around age 10 where he offered to let me shoot it. It was heavier than I thought. I had lifted it before, but really trying to raise it up to my shoulder and into the sky to shoot at a bird proved to be more difficult than I thought. And then I made the mistake that often young shooters with a powerful weapon like that make. I didn't pull it tight into my shoulder. And when I fired the trigger, I don't know where the shells went, the pellets. I know I didn't get a bird. I do know it kicked me in the shoulder so bad, I was bruised for a couple of weeks. And Dad and his other friends were just laughing at me. Boy, you better learn to hold that shotgun tighter than that. Lesson taught, learned, and kept forever. A few days later, we're out hunting again. He offers me again the opportunity to shoot his 12-gauge. Well, I'm going to take the opportunity, but I clutched it tightly into my shoulder this time. I did not want to be kicked like a mule again. The shoulder was still bruised and still sore. And so I do recall when I fired the shot, following the blast of the shotgun, there was a from me. I was okay, but even though I absorbed the shock, it was there. There are a lot of things kids get to do with their parents, be it hunting, fishing, hiking, biking, whatever. And every time you got that opportunity, I hope you took advantage of it. And the same thing with you and your children. Give them that opportunity. Give them a slice of you, a memory to be held forever. And I've done that with my girls the best I can. Never went fishing with them, never went hunting. They had no interest, but we look for everything to do, and including and including sitting on the floor with them, playing dollhouse with Barbies. Yep, you do whatever they would be interested in, and you take part in a fake tea with nothing in the cups, but you hold the cup and you act like you're drinking from it, and you're having tea with your daughter. It doesn't really make any difference what it is. As I said, you're sharing something with them that they might recall in some future date or not. But at that moment, you're part of their lives. And a relationship between a parent and a child, to me, is paramount. It shapes that child forever. I've had a pastor tell me one time, he said, there are cases where bad children come from good homes. And there are many cases where good children come from bad homes. But each is an exception, not the rule. So even if it's reading to your kids, you're creating a memory for them. And again, we're not just talking about parents. We're talking about aunts and uncles, grandparents, anyone who has contact with that child. When you are relating and sharing something with them, it comes back in the future. Not just for them to, quote, pay it forward, but a recollection of a silver time, never to be repeated. I've been having a lot of those thoughts lately about not only going hunting with my dad, but other things. And it was always my desire to impress my father. Never one to fall short. And Dad just could give me a look, and I knew that I failed at whatever I was attempting. He didn't have to say a word. But then one day, after a season of dove hunting, he told me, next year, you will be 12. And before dove season, you can go out and buy yourself a shotgun, your own shotgun. But you're going to have to earn it. And I said, well, can I use a lawnmower to go mow lawns? Yes, you can. But you mow our lawn first every time before you go anywhere else. That was understood. So that summer, going to my 12th birthday or shortly after and then going toward dove season, I was out constantly pushing that lawnmower down the street, asking if I could mow the lawn. How much did I get? Well, what I got was whatever they would give me. I never set a price. I'd go up to the door and after it's all done and ask the lady of the house, normally the one who had hired me, she'd ask me, how much do I owe you? And I'd look at her and I'd bat my little brown eyes. And that got me a little extra money, I think. I was learning to be a charmer. But then when I actually had the money, what kind of shotgun? What would I be able to afford? How much did I have to earn? And keep in mind, this is more money than I've had in my life. Where do I hide it for safekeeping? Yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So when Dad said that I could go out and start earning that money, I'd already gone down to the White's Auto Store, and I saw a shotgun I wanted. And it was going to be within my price range once I reached that amount of money. But I'm mowing lawns, and I'm getting maybe sometimes $2 per lawn. Normally $1.50, $1.25. I remember one time a lady gave me a $5 bill. I stood there looking at it, didn't know she wanted change or not. And she said, "You go on, sweetie, you did a good job." Boy, that was big money. But I had a little brother, 3 years younger, and he knew I was making money. So I got hold of an old Prince Albert tobacco can that Dad had. And I put that money deep into that can, and then I would bury it deep up under my mattress. I didn't want my brother to have access to that money. I'm not saying he would steal from me, but yeah, he might take a little loan or two. And I needed every dollar for that shotgun I wanted to buy. And on nights when he wasn't home, or days I knew he wouldn't be around, I'd take that money out of that Prince Albert can and count it. Even though I already knew what it was, I would count it. It smelled like tobacco. And from that point forward in my life, the smell of tobacco reminds me of money. So eventually I had earned enough that I could go get the shotgun. Mom agreed to take me to White's Auto Store. I had priced it exactly what it cost for the shotgun and one box of shells. It was a bolt-action 410. Now, if you're familiar with guns at all, bolt-action means you're firing one shot at a time. You have to eject that shot from the chamber, put in another one before you can shoot again. With a pump, you'd simply pull the pump back and it would eject the shell, spent cartridge, and put a fresh one into the chamber. Very quick. Bolt-action took extra time. And doves are very small little birds. And a 410 is a very small weapon to try to bring them down. And I'm paying for the shell, so I had to make sure every shot I fired hit a target. I got to be pretty good. I think really that paid off for me later in the Marines when we were in training for our badges for accomplishment. I was one of two in the battalion to get expert. The other was a boy from Tennessee. He spent a lot of his youth shooting squirrels with a .22. But the only thing about buying that shotgun that day, while I brought my money out of my pocket, Mom decided she'd buy me a case, a shotgun case, which was very appreciative. But there was something else that I'd not heard of before. Taxes. I didn't know anything about taxes. Now, I don't recall what the amount of taxes would have been. I think the shotgun total was maybe $38, maybe that much. But I know I didn't have money for that, a box of shells and taxes. Mom bought them, paid the taxes. I still have that shotgun to this day under my bed. Has not been shot in decades. I need to disassemble it and clean it thoroughly before I would put anything in and shoot it again. Now, one of the things about hunting doves in West Texas, anyway, we would often have something called a bull bat fly right in front of you. That's what we called them. They were really a common nighthawk. And I was told that they were blind. I don't know if they were, but they were mainly coming out at night, really like a bat would, but these were called bull bats or nighthawks. And it wasn't too uncommon to lift your barrel and trying to shoot into a covey to bring down a bird, and a bull bat would just fly right into your barrel. And you've got feathers and blood all over the place. But we would be around that stock pond, whatever lake, body of water we found, to wait for these doves to come in, and it made no difference to me. I was there with my dad, and we were hunting. Now, a couple times you're hiding in the mesquite waiting for them to come in, and you might come close to stepping on a rattler. So you always had to be careful. And there were a couple other boys that would sometimes join us, and their fathers would come and join us as well. Those are the memories, some of them, that I cherish with my father, who passed away some years ago. Sharing that part of his life with me, giving me a memory which I relate to you, but I'm sure you have your own with your parents or grandparents. If you stop and think about it, it was, one, a relationship you had, but you were building a lasting memory, something that will stay with you all your life. Now, you do know, as you get older, as I said, if you have children, well, then you definitely want to build those memories with them. They may not remember all of them. I don't remember all the ones that I spent with my parents one way or the other. But I do know that it was a memory to last. The story behind the story tomorrow. The story of the Concorde, the revolutionary Anglo-French supersonic passenger jetliner capable of hitting 2.0 Mach 2. That's the story behind the story. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.